Then after we have that clear, after we know what our destination is, then we can try to figure out what it would take to get from where we are to where we want to be. There's this rush to enlightenment that I observe that humanity, or at least a portion of humanity, is engaged in, and many say that they know how to get there, they know how to get you there. So we see many, many paths to enlightenment that are suggested, recommended, created, expressed, experienced, shared, or put into the space of our collective lives. Masters of every shape and size and color have been creating a way to be enlightened for millennia. Paramahansa Yogananda said that he knew a way to enlightenment. Sai Baba said that he knew a way to enlightenment. The Buddha said that he knew a way to enlightenment. Maharishi Mahesh Yogi said that he also knows a way to enlightenment. And in their own way, Jesus the Christ and Muhammad said that they too knew the way to enlightenment. Now, the interesting thing here is that the followers of all these masters have insisted that their master was right about that, that their way was the best way and the fastest way. Maybe not the only way, but the fastest way, and therefore you needed to take that way. There was this great urgency. But there are many programs, many approaches, many paths developed by many masters. There are many ways to reach the mountaintop. Which way, then, should we recommend? Which way, then, should we encourage others to take?
That's what I'm asking you.
Yes, I know. And God says, no one calls to me who is not answered.
You're right. I do say that.
And tomorrow's God will make sure that each of us is answered in the way which most effectively responds to the vibration that we create and hold in the center of our being. Now, I've come to this conversation, and I'm going to end it by saying something daring. I'm going to tell you that one day, I too could be enlightened. Like all of those other masters, I tried everything. I walked down many paths, many, many paths. And then one day, I had an out-of-body experience. Now, that was interesting because I wasn't trying to do that. I was trying to produce outcomes with my fasting. I was trying to produce outcomes with my meditation. I was trying to produce outcomes with my rosary and with my disciplines. But those were not bringing me to where I wanted to go. Now, here I was, just simply trying to get some sleep. I just fell asleep. But in that moment, I flew out of my body quite involuntarily, just left. And I knew that I left. It was a conscious awareness. I was not in my body, and I knew that I wasn't. I won't take time here to explain to you or describe for you my experience, although I can tell you it was very real, and it's very real to me to this very day. I've had three such experiences in my life, two since the original one, and every one of those experiences brought me to the same place, a space of absolute, make that capital A, awareness. Kind of like an AA meeting, absolute awareness. And when I returned from my very first out-of-body experience, I was left with two words that blew my mind. Would you like to know what they were?
I'm all ears.
Nothing matters. Nothing matters. What an amazing message for my soul to receive from the unified soul that is all of life. It changed my life. And here's the message behind the message. If nothing matters intrinsically, then I'm free to declare what I choose to have matter to me. But if something matters intrinsically, that is to say, if something matters to, shall we say, God, then I had darn well better figure out what that is. Because if I don't figure out what it is, I'll be the thing called condemned, or at the very least, unenlightened. But a voice in my out-of-body experience said to me, nothing matters. I knew then that we're free to make matter what we choose to make matter in our lives. And I mean that in two ways, not only to make matter, but to make something into matter. I mean to manifest in physical reality something out of invisible energy, to turn energy into matter. So here's what I want to share with you, since you asked. Enlightenment, when it's all said and done, has nothing to do with what you do with your body or your mind. It has to do with what you do with your soul.
Now that's a wonderful insight. Just the way you put that opens up the space for clarity. Nice.
Thank you. Now I want to share that if people simply love everyone whose life they touch, endlessly, unconditionally, with nothing needed or wanted in return, they will have become enlightened, and they will have shown everyone how they also may be enlightened as fast as any other system that exists, just like that. Now I want to discuss this thing called health, because many people believe that you are not enlightened unless you're in good health.
You are really on a roll here, aren't you?
Well, you opened the door. I walked through it.
Go on. I want to hear what you have to say about this.
Is enlightenment being in good health? And what is good health anyway? Is good health having no pain, or is good health being okay and in a place of joy and peace, no matter how things are? What is health? What is optimum health if it's not happiness? Do you know Ram Dass? Ram Dass is a master, and I'm vastly privileged to have met him personally. He's taught many people for many years. He wrote a book once called Be Here Now, among others.